Today, I want to share from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. You know, if you read Acts chapter 11, it is, you hear breaking news. You know, you hear breaking news from CNN and BBC. And when you read the book of Acts, there's a lot of breaking news here. A lot of breaking news. It all depends how you read it. I know. whenever I read it, I try to dramatize it. What is happening there, you know? So if you read the Bible that way, it's very powerful. Now, there was breaking news at Antioch. If there has been a news channel called ANC, Antioch News Channel, that would be breaking news. You know, breaking news in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says here in verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and in Antioch, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Wow, breaking news. Then another breaking news was, you know, there was a man, Barnabas, who came, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. He had encouraged them. And then in verse 24, it says, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Wow, what a breaking news. And then if you go back to Acts chapter 13, you know, they had sent out team. In fact, in between, there is another breaking news in verse 24 of chapter 12. The word of God continued to spread and flourish. But in Acts 13, there is breaking news in verse 49. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. That's breaking news. In Acts 14, it says that at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. A great number turned to the Lord. A great number believed. A great number. And I want to speak prophetically over First Baptist Church. There will be breaking news coming out of this congregation saying a great number of people believe the Lord. Yeah. God wants to produce a breaking news here. Our sister's testimony is a breaking news. Amen? You know what I would do with this kind of testimony? And I would say, I take this testimony and share it with someone, and then I would preach Jesus Christ to them. I say, can I pray for you? Immediately, what I will do, I'll pray for that person. And after I pray for the person, always ask them, how do you feel? Don't go away, you know. How do you feel? I feel better. I'll pray again. Oh, the pain is still there. You know, I was in China, Chengdu, and this lady had a pain in her ankle. And so I prayed for her. And I said, how was it? He said, still there. So I prayed for her, you know. I prayed for her some more. Still there. You know, I prayed. In Jesus' name, I know I prayed. She said, still there. Okay, I said, the Lord will heal you. Next morning, she woke up, no pain. And why is it so significant? Because she suffered from it for 3 months. But she was healed. She was healed. You know what we would do when somebody gets healed? I want to tell you, especially if they are not a Christian. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And you can share with them about Jesus Christ. And that is how you share the gospel, when you pray for people. So today, after you know, there is an assignment for you. You can go back to your friends and say, we heard a testimony of Sister Teresa, of this is a condition, and all that. And you know, today she testified that God had healed her completely. Hey, can I pray for you? And then you pray for them. And after you pray for them, you share Jesus Christ. And you ask the amazing question. Do you know for sure? I think you all know the question, right? Do you know for sure that you will be with God in heaven? And then you pause a bit when you die. And they say, I don't know. The next question. If you were to stand before God and God would ask you, tell me why I should allow you into heaven, what would you tell him? I don't know. And then you can share the gospel. Heaven is a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a free gift. God gives it to you. But we cannot receive it because we have sinned. But He is loving. He doesn't want to punish us for our sins, but He's a just God. He has to punish us for our sins. So the only way He can handle this dilemma is sacrifice Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, took our sins on the cross. Before He died, He said it is finished, meaning He had paid the penalty of all our sins once and for all. And now, only response that we have is to receive Him by faith. You know, there's breaking news that's happening in FGA, in our church, and it is just sharing this gospel. Sharing this gospel. I was talking to Tech Ho, and he has been telling me what has been happening here. And I said, hey, you have all the ingredients of breaking news. And maybe today I just come and ignite it and let it spread out. Spread out. Wow, look at this. All of you right till the end. When I came, there was only about half of this group. It has been quite a long time since I came. So that means that I'll come another 3 years later. Huh? Breaking news. Now, why did that happen? That happened because the early church kept the gospel central. That's how I entitled my message, Keep the Gospel Central. And when you look at the scriptures, especially the Antioch church, they kept the gospel central. And you look at ordinary people sharing the gospel. You look in Acts chapter 11, in verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The first point is, evangelism becomes the top priority. When you keep the gospel central, evangelism becomes the top priority. And how do we measure that? Everyone is sharing the gospel. In fact, you know, there is an alternative title to this, and I borrowed it from Air Asia. Now everyone can share. So every time you see Air Asia, you hear my words. Now everyone can share. Right? Everyone can share. Here, ordinary people, people who were scattered through the persecution in Jerusalem there, they came and they were speaking the word. We don't know who these people were, but they're ordinary individuals. They are not the who is who. They're the whosoever. And they were carriers of the gospel. Ordinary members are active in sharing the gospel. And the result was a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord. Ordinary people. Ordinary people. You know, just in the month of August alone, I had led 14 people to the Lord on one-to-one. And not only that, we multiplied. In verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God has done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. How is it? It didn't say that Barnabas went and preached, but it said that a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So, number two, not only ordinary members are active in sharing the gospel, the second point is leaders multiply the sharing of the gospel. So what I did was, I said, hey, this one really works. And so I went to the pastors. If you can convince the pastors, that means you can convince the ordinary members. How many of you know that? So I went to these pastors. I also oversee the Tamil church. So I went to the Tamil church pastors and I asked them, hey, how do you normally share the gospel? And they looked at me and said, oh, we have our own methods. Okay. So I shared that gospel the way I just told. And I heard that you have already studied this before under EE. You have already studied this. And so I said, could you suspend your methods and try this, you know. And I said, next week I'm going to come and check on you. Go and share with people, and then you come and tell me. So the following week I came, and one pastor, in fact, I spoke to two, and then the third one. And the first pastor said, I spoke to three people the first week, and two people got saved. Wow, they were very encouraged. Another pastor who was with them, when I was talking to them, well, he also spoke to three people, and two people got saved. Wow, they were very encouraged. So I said, continue, next week. The second week, Lydia, her name, she spoke to five people, and four people got saved. The third week, she spoke to four people, and all the four got saved. The last week, she spoke to four people, and two people got saved. In the month of August, she spoke to 16 people, and 12 people got saved. Wow. And then the other pastor, somebody by the name of Kalai, he had spoken to eight people in the month of August, and three people got saved. The other person is Pastor Alex. Pastor Alex just returned from Sri Lanka, so he was only there for 3 weeks. And he spoke to six people, and six people got saved. And that means, just in that 1 month alone, they had spoken to 30 people, and 21 people got saved. If you want to work at percentage, it's 70%. And the head of Tamil Church is somebody called William Thomas. William Thomas is a very, very gentle person. And while I'm sharing with them this, and he's just listening, and he is a man who, when he walks and steps on an ant, the ant won't die. Last week, I was preaching in the Tamil service. Exactly the same. I preached the same thing. And when I was coming out, William Thomas said, Dorai, just this week, I had led two people to the Lord. I had led two people to the Lord. Not only ordinary people share, but leaders help to multiply the sharing of the gospel. Lydia Raman had now gone and shared with one of her members, and the member in just 1 week had led five people to the Lord. Wow. And then why didn't this happen before? Then I realized there are three kinds of evangelism. There is mass evangelism, when we usually have it during Christmas and Easter, or even having a healing rally, or even having an evangelistic meeting. There where one person speaks and many people listen. Then there is what is called a small group evangelism. Alpha is one example. Or, as what our youth do, they have a gospel camp. They'll go to Peace Haven in Guntings and they'll have a few people speak and then they have a gospel camp. So, mass evangelism, one person speaks. In a small group evangelism, a small group speaks. But when it comes to personal evangelism, everyone speaks. Everyone speaks. And as everyone begin to speak, as they begin to share, something is happening. Lydia Raman was a person, she holds some, by the way, these people, very difficult to speak to them. They hold masters in theology. When you talk to Lydia Raman, I want to demonstrate this. She is like this, the most passive pastor I've ever seen. Yes, pastor, but. Yes, pastor, but. You know. Yes, pastor, but her body is also like that. You know, I'm not exaggerating. And here I'm jumping up and down and say, hey, yes, pastor, but. And today, Lydia Raman. Whoa, she said, my joy is double every time when I see this. My joy is double. In fact, last week she spoke to nine people and six people got saved. Wow, how is that? Because she kept the gospel central. She kept the gospel central. You know, one of the things that we do is that, and you know this already, you know, but I'm coming to activate it. I only do two things now. Either I do personal evangelism or I activate personal evangelism. In fact, what I've done in the church now is I've taken the pastors and I said, look, you only stay in the office for 2 days in the office. The rest of the days you're outside. Go out. Don't be bound by the desk, go out and that going out, this is what happens. You know, either you are activating evangelism or you are doing personal evangelism. And one of the things we begin to pray is, the way we pray is, Lord, give me open doors. The second thing we say, give me open hearts. And the third prayer is, give me open mouth, meaning my mouth. That I would open my mouth and speak. You know how it is? We sit beside this person, want to speak or not, want to speak or not, want to speak or not. You're an LRT, you know, want to speak or not. The station comes, the person gets up and goes. And then we are great in justifying. Maybe it's not the Lord's time now. And that was what Elaine said of her mother. In our prayer meeting, I was demonstrating this, you know, what is happening in the church, actually demonstrating the gospel presentation using the hand. And I did this, and then the prayer meeting was over, and everybody was going out, and everybody has left, and Elaine and her mother were sitting there. Elaine's mother, her name is Suin, the husband passed away at the beginning of the year. And so Elaine said, oh, my mother, now is not the time. Now is not the time. But that day, before I went for the prayer meeting, I had told myself, I have not spoken to anybody. God, help me. Give me an open door. Give me an open heart, an open mouth. So I walked, and then here was Elaine saying, this is not the time for my mother. So I look at Auntie. Auntie, can I talk to you? Yeah. Can I ask you a question? So I asked her two questions. You know, I've asked this question to so many people. Now they said, don't ask. You know, so we asked, and she said she didn't have any answer to this. So I shared the whole gospel and then asked her, does this make sense to you? She said, yes. Would you like to receive this free gift of eternal life? She said, yes. Then can I pray with you? And then she stood up and she prayed, and right there, she received the Lord Jesus Christ. First Baptist Church, Subang. It is you. I've changed our missionary tagline. Now everybody is a missionary. I read an article a long time ago, the making of a missionary. What is a missionary? A missionary is one who carries the message of Jesus Christ. A missionary is one who is on a mission. And a missionary is one who keeps repeating this, keeps repeating this. Keeps repeating this, keeps repeating this, doing this over and over again, over and over again. Everyone. I've changed the whole mission strategy of our department. Instead of a mission department, now I've called the whole church, you're all missionaries. And we are bearing fruit. There is breaking news out of this that is coming through. Ordinary people sharing the gospel. Leaders multiplying the sharing of the gospel. And then the church is active in sharing the gospel in regions beyond. You find that in Acts chapter 13. They sent Paul and Barnabas together with John. And we read from verse 44 onwards, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first. And then he goes on to say, the Lord has commanded us, I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. You know, today what I do with students or anybody traveling anywhere, in fact, two students, one of them was going to Leeds University. So I sat with her and I taught her this, how to share the gospel. One to one. Another young man was studying in UK. He's going to attend a bar there. So I got hold of him and I shared this with him. That when he goes to UK, he's doing this one to one. He is not having an evangelistic campaign. He is going to speak to someone about Jesus Christ on a one to one, one to one. You know, God is scattering. Keko was saying that we now have more than 200 missionaries. Yes, we sent. But then I saw that God was sending missionaries outside the mission department. In fact, he didn't ask our permission. God didn't even confer with us, missions director. He is sending people to Copenhagen. He is sending people to Sweden. He is sending people to Taiwan. He is sending people to Hong Kong. In fact, they're sending people to Kazakhstan. Hey, these are not in our list. And then I saw, what is God doing? And so we begin to equip people today. Begin to equip. We are not asking you to have an evangelistic campaign. We are asking you to speak one-to-one. I went to Kampa. I was taking a church camp, 20th anniversary. So before the thing started, after my breakfast, I was loitering around in that foyer. The manager came. And I the normal talk, asked his name, what he's doing and all that. After that, I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. So I asked him a question. Do you know for sure? By the way, you know where it comes from. It comes from 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13 says, believe in the name of the Son of God that you will know that you have eternal life. The J.B. Phillips translation says, believe in the name of the Son of God that you may be quite sure that you have eternal life. So we are not just pulling this out of the air. And so I said, can I ask you a question? Do you know for sure that you would be with God in heaven? Then you pause, lah. When you die. And he said, no, I'm not sure. The next question, what would you tell God when he asks you, why should I allow you? So I shared the whole gospel. At the end, I said, does it make sense? He said, yes. Would you like to receive this gift of eternal life? He said, I need to think about it. Now, many of us would say, oh, but Darai, the person didn't receive. Actually, if you go back to the Bible, it says, nowhere it says, go and convert the people. It says, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. When you're preaching the gospel, you're sowing the seed. When you're preaching the gospel, you are planting the seed. If you're sowing the gospel, if you're preaching the gospel, you're watering the seed. Praise God if the person receives and therefore you reap the harvest. But your work of sharing and proclaiming the word of God is done. You share. I went to my cousin who lives in Kampa for years. I have not met him. He's older than me. And so when I went and shared, they asked me this the amazing question, how did you become a Christian? That's it. You know? And then I shared with them. And when I came to the first one and said, heaven is a free gift, eternal life is a free gift, his wife, by the name of Selvarani, she was amazed. She said, you mean anyone can enter heaven? I said, yes. There are people outside there working very hard. Really, they don't know. I have my brother-in-law who came to my house 3 weeks ago. My brother-in-law and my sister, they live in Puchong. They know a lot about Hinduism. And I've taken them for evangelistic meetings and I've shared with all kinds of things, you know. So I came back after a funeral and they said, oh, you went for a funeral, you pray for the dead. I said, no, I don't. Then I turned the whole conversation and asked that question. And I was quite amazed that they did not know that whether he would be in heaven or not. You know, the Hindus, what they do in Hindu funerals, they will send the eldest boy to walk around the casket. They'll carry a pot, a clay pot, and they will break that pot and water is spilled. Actually, it comes off Ecclesiastes, you know. And then the priest will say, go to heaven, go to heaven. He says it in Tamil. Huh? I can't speak Tamil here, you know what I mean? So I can speak, but I don't want to speak. So he said, go to heaven. So I remember finishing everything. And then after the cremation, I was walking with the priest. I said, you know, when you went around, you said, go to heaven, go to heaven. How sure are you that that soul goes to heaven? He said, I'm not sure. I want to tell you, First Baptist Church, the gospel is a powerful, powerful means of telling people, hey, you don't have to do anything. It is all done for. Heaven is a free gift. With all that knowledge, they don't know. I went to a place. It is a different. It's a different kind of religion. No, they all wear white. So it's one of my janitor's mother passed away. So I was a bit late. So I went there, and they were telling me about their religion. So I asked her, "Excuse me, this person who just passed away, do you know where she's going to be? Will she be in heaven?" She said, "I don't know." So I said, "Turn around." And I asked her, I said, what about you? Asked the same question I asked. And she said, I don't know. So people do not know. They are working all kinds of means. And so here, so the first thing is they keep evangelism the top priority. Evangelism top priority. When I say evangelism is top priority, that means they do daily. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says that the Lord were adding the people to the church daily. In Acts 5, 42, it talks about they were sharing the gospel, preaching and teaching daily. In Acts 16, verse 5, you say it was daily. Acts 16, verse 5, let me just read that. He said, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. In Acts 17, verse 17, it says, so he reasoned in the synagogues with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there, daily. Acts 19, verse 9. Acts 19, verse 9, it says that when Paul, but some of them became obstinate, they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them, he took the disciples with him, and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This is it. He had lectured them daily. And you know, verse 10 says, this went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Daily, daily, daily. Now, I know many of you had actually gone to university. If I had to take 10 stones and throw in the air right here, all of them will hit a graduate. Right? So, I am a psychology student, and my parents asked me, so, how many times do you attend the lecture? Twice. Oh, you mean twice a week? No. Twice a year. Twice a year. How do you ever know psychology that way? In fact, you'll flunk, right? But you know, that's exactly what we do. We say gospel is central, but we only share the gospel twice in a year. Easter, Christmas. And we say we are going to reach the world. When I started, I didn't study psychology. I studied forestry. I studied engineering. When I first started out, I didn't know everything about forestry. I didn't know anything about engineering. But I went to the lectures every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day for the next 4 years. Then I understood everything. You know, God is not calling us to be an expert witness. He's calling us to be an effective witness. And for you to be an effective witness, you have to be sharing the gospel every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day. I ask myself, right, what is the difference? For you always share the gospel anywhere you go, anyway. What is the difference now? Previously, I would share the gospel when opportunities arise and hit me on the face. You know? Then I would share. But now, I actually look for opportunities. I plan for opportunities. I call up people. I say, I want to have coffee with you. I want to come and visit you. I actually plan. And I will speak to the friend and say, hey, can you speak to your brother? He said, I'm afraid. Okay, invite him for lunch. Both of us will go for lunch. And I will speak to your brother. Oh, that is very good. Do you see the difference? When you keep the gospel central, you're not waiting for opportunities to come and knock the door. You go after that opportunities. And God wants more people to be saved than we want to get them saved. And that's what happened this August. That's what happened. That's how I could explain to you why that whole month that I was able to, and last week I shared and 4 people received the Lord. And so you go after. You go after. I tell you, man, I know we can talk about transformation, but God transforms first our heart. Our heart. It's the gospel first. God has to transform our hearts. There's an Indian song, Tamil song. It's an old song. You won't hear it now. And he sings this way. Actually, the one who sings is MGR. He sings this way. He said, the thief is hard at work, but the police is also hard at work. But he said, no matter what they do, nothing is going to change. It's only when the thief changes his own heart that theft will be stopped. It is the changing of the heart, and it has to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to have a community transformation. My brothers, let loose FBC into the community, one by one, one by one. Don't invite them for evangelistic campaign per se, though that those are important, but you go and share the gospel. Those people whom you know. By the way, it is not a cold call. By the way, it's not a cold call. You're not talking to strangers. You're talking to the people who are within your circle of influence, your network of people, your own people. Don't go and call anybody, you know. Hawker stall, this one, that one. Not everyone will do that. Not everyone will do that. Though I will tell you this, once you start doing this, you will go for cold calls. I know. When you start doing this, you will go for cold calls. But I'm not asking you to start there. Start with your group. You know, my daughter, Joanna. Joanna now is working already. And every time I ask her, so who have you shared the gospel with? Who have you shared the gospel with? Who have you shared with? You say, Dad, will you stop this? Who have you shared the gospel with? And so I taught her this. And 2 weeks ago, she led two people to the Lord. Hey, if you want to really know how to share the gospel, you already have it. You're EE, right? You already have it. How many of you have done EE? EE. Some of you dare not put up your hands. How many? It's just like asking the students, how many of you have finished the assignment, you know? They're scared because I call you. Can you explain that, please? I think there's work to do. It's not complicated. You're not going to do 13 weeks. It's a very short one, okay? It's a very short one you can do. I've taught that to people, and they are doing it. By the way, actually, the brother who came and taught us is a brother from Indonesia. Yeah, he's from our church, and he has been in our church for 8 years. In fact, EE in Indonesia is a big thing. It's a real big thing. So you could learn this. Now, not only that, you have to do it daily. So the evangelism becomes a top priority. But when evangelism becomes top priority, discipleship becomes the essential activity. Once you get saved, then you need to disciple them. And you read that in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, in verse 25, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So discipleship follows evangelism. Immediately, you begin to disciple them. Immediately. In fact, the church is kept busy. Now, there are so many kinds of discipleship. It's one-to-one. I disciple people one-to-one. I have five people that I disciple on a weekly basis, one-to-one. I spend 1 hour with them every week. And I'm very religious about the 1 hour because they are working and I'm working. So, 1 hour. Why, if you ask me, Dorai, why do you go and disciple one-to-one in spite of the fact that you're a pastor in a church? I said, because I have to answer the question. Jesus said, go and make disciples. So at least I can say, I'm discipling someone. When Jesus asked First Baptist Church, who are you discipling? I go to church, Lord. Wrong answer. Who are you discipling? I preach, Lord. Wrong answer. And I found out that when I begin to disciple people, they actually follow you, you know. They actually obey you. They don't argue with you. I tell them, water baptism, water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism, Holy Spirit. Tithes and offering, tithes. Today people come and argue with me, got tithes. Here, Old Testament, New Testament, they all argue, you know. But when I disciple people, they obey. They obey. How to read the scriptures. This is how you read the scriptures. When you read the scriptures, look for God. Look for God first. This is God's book. Look for God. Don't look for what it says first. That will come later. Look for God. Second, look for people. God is interested in people. God is not interested in an idea. What is an idea? Idea doesn't float around, except in the universities. They all float around. Do you know science? Science talks about the what, but God, in other circles, is the who. That is why when you talk about the Big Bang Theory, they talk about what, but who started the Big Bang? Oh, that one you cannot ask. But the Bible starts, in the beginning, God. So I said, look for God. Look for people. The third thing is, look for verbs. Action. That means you will do it. Not reading it so that I have good knowledge, but so that you will obey. And so we can disciple them. I have discipled several of them like that. Of course, I also disciple in small groups, but it's great joy to disciple one by one. So discipleship becomes an essential activity. But why do you disciple them anyway? You disciple them so that they become effective witnesses. You know, I've got theologian friends, and they ask me, Dorai, if that is what you say, why did Paul, or why didn't Paul, give any direct commandments to evangelize in his epistles? I said, my friend, you have to understand the context in which he had written. Those epistles were written so that the Christians would remain and continue to be effective witnesses. If you keep the gospel central, evangelism becomes the top priority. Discipleship becomes the essential activity. Now listen to this. The apostolic movement becomes a fundamental necessity. If the gospel is central, it's burning in your hearts, you will begin to say, how can we take this gospel to Taylor's College? How can we take the gospel to Inti College? How do we take the gospel to the refugees and the migrant workers who are here? How do I take the gospel to the parts of Kedah where it's a Thai border, a lot of Thais around there, but they're Malaysian citizens? How do I take the gospel to Kelantan? How do I take the gospels to Johor? How do I take the gospel to Thailand? How do I take the gospels to Myanmar? Oh, how do I take the gospel to the Jews? How do I take the gospel? You will begin, because when you keep the gospel central, you will begin to spread out. And that is what the apostolic movement is all about. It is spreading out. It is going out. It is sending forth. I know we have been caught up with the word apostle and all kinds of things. But if you take the apostolic movement as such, it has got to do with the gospel. No wonder Paul, who said, I'm a servant of Christ, an apostle, set apart for the gospel. Set apart for the gospel. It is the spreading of the gospel. It is going for the gospel. So when Teku or Doreen Chan said, will you please come to First Baptist Church and speak on missions? I said, I will come. Because one church cannot reach Malaysia. Do you know how many percent Christians are in Klang Valley? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. Only 5%. Only 5%. You think FGA alone can reach it? Cannot. We need First Baptist Church. So that's why I've come to speak to you. So that you would go out daily. You would go daily in your area of circle of influence. You know, in the last Wednesday prayer meeting, I said, who is traveling? I said, who, those of you who are traveling this week, come out. I think about 20 of them came out. Some are traveling to Jakarta. Some are traveling to Kazakhstan. Some people are traveling to Bangalore. And I said, you are going there to share the gospel. Husband and wife, I said, make sure each one share the gospel. Does it change? It changes everything. When you keep the gospel central, it changes everything. My wife is the head of family counseling. She thinks her husband is very, very aggressive. I am. And she's a very gentle one. Go all this time. Very, very, very gentle. You know, Kelabit, she's a Kelabit. She's from Sarawak. They have long pauses. Then when they stop a sentence, long pause. For me, I'm not used to pauses, you know. So I thought they have a comma. I thought they have already stopped. So I've already come in and I've spoken a paragraph. And when she continues, she starts there. Oh, okay. And you know what happened? What happened? This week, she was sharing the gospel with somebody. You know why? The reason why we do not share the gospel is we are fearful. What are we fearful for? We do not know what to share. But if you can start with those two diagnostic questions and share the gospel this way, I assume you all know EE, right? Teko? No? Yes? No? No one? Huh? Oh, really? When do I stop? It's 10:30. Do I stop now? Okay. Let me just finish with this. So, number one, if you keep the gospel central, you will make evangelism top priority. Number two, you will make discipleship an essential activity. And number three, you will make the apostolic movement a fundamental necessity. You will do this. You will do this. In Acts 13, verse 1 to 5, you saw how they were gathered together. In verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And the two of them went on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Could you imagine traveling to Kuala Selangor? You want to go and see all those fireflies, but you stop at Kuala Selangor and you're having coffee and you're sitting down. Kuala Selangor is not very busy, you know, and somebody comes and sits down there and then you talk to them, you know, small talk. You say, apa kabar, kabar baik, okay, all that. And then say, bolehkah saya tanya satu soalan kepadamu? And then you start asking and he said, andakah pasti berada bersama Tuhan, sekiranya kamu, how do you say mati? Meninggal dunia. You don't say mati. I had a Sri Lankan security guard, and I said, "Can I talk to you?" He said, "Yes." So I said, "You want English or?" He said, "Bahasa, bahasa." So I talked to him in Bahasa. At the end of it, he was a Buddhist. And I shared with him, all in Bahasa. And asking questions like that, like I had another friend, "Hey, what do you call this one?" "Okay, all right, shared that." At the end, I said, "Terima Yesus Kristus sebagai juru selamat. Sudikah anda menerima anugerah ini yang percuma?" And he said, "Yeah." And he received the Lord. Amen? Amen. So next time, wherever you go, speak to one person. I want to speak to one person. Tomorrow is, today is what? Sunday, eh? Tomorrow. When you go to the office, hey, I want to talk to this friend. I haven't talked to him yet. Don't ask him to come to church. Never in the Bible it says, go and call the people to come to church. It never said that. But he say, go. You go. You go. You go. Go to your friend. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. Go to your nephew. Go to your niece. Go. Go. Speak one to one. One to one. And finally, this will only happen if you make Jesus Christ, as I bring this to a close, bring Jesus Christ, make Jesus Christ the foremost authority. Because here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when Barnabas came, he said he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. What do you mean true? Remain true. It's abiding. But I would like to look at it in some translations. It says, follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Remain true to the Lord means follow the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, you know, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you good Christians sitting in FBC. No, he didn't say that. Did he say that? No. Follow me and I will make you intellectual students of the Bible. No, he didn't say that too. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, my friends, I want to tell you, is all the thoughts that you had, I also had the same thought. I also had the same thought until I began to, you know, something happened to me in June. Something really happened to me. That one you have to invite me and second time I have to tell you. Something happened to me, but the word of the Lord that came to me is, Dorai, keep the gospel central. That's what happened to me in June. And that changed everything for me. But I said, God, I did keep the gospel central. He said, no. And then, when I actually begin to do that, things begin to change. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I want to quickly make a gospel presentation, so that because many of you, I thought you all knew, that's why I didn't go into it. I'm going to make the gospel, 5 minutes only, because I normally share only 5 minutes. Okay, when I meet somebody, one of the first questions I ask them is, the first question is, do you know for sure that you know that you will be with God in heaven? You're asking about them. You're not talking about something else. You're asking about them. Do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that you'll be with God in heaven when you die? Usually, all of them actually say, I don't know. The second question is, if you stand before God and ask you, why should I allow you into heaven? If God would ask you, what would you say? I don't know. Maybe he knows. That is, but that still means they don't know. Then I say, look, heaven is a free gift. Now this one you must, heaven is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. God gives you a free gift. But man cannot receive it because they have sinned. Now, everybody say, yeah. The world weighs the sin, say, nobody's perfect. You know, that's how they use the word, imperfect. So nobody's perfect. Yeah, they know that. But you need to press in first. So you have to ask them, what do you understand by sin? That is a rhetorical question. Don't have to wait for them to answer. And said, sin is not just wrongdoing, not just wrong actions. It's also wrong words that we speak. You know, some of these Indians also have wrong words. They call people donkey. You know, if the person who comes to the house, they don't like, they call, the dog has come. Now, in the English, it doesn't come out, but in Tamil, it's terrible, you know. Okay, so, wrong words. Okay, wrong words. Not only wrong words, but wrong thoughts. We could have even wrong thoughts that are violating God's words, God's command, and wrong desires, wrong feelings, things like envy and bitterness and lust and all kinds of things. So these are all categories of sin. Now, by this time, you have got their attention. But then you press a little bit further. You say, you look like a good guy. Ferdinand, you look like a good guy. Maybe you only do 3 sins a day, but in a month, you would have done 90 sins. In a year, you would have committed more than 1,000 sins. Actually, if you calculate, it's 1,080, but you don't have to get into that. Just say more than 1,000. And by the grace of God, if you lived 80 years, you would have committed 80,000 sins. Now, Ferdinand, tell me, if I have committed 80,000 sins and you are God, the judge, would you let me into heaven? Would you? 80,000 sins? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. In fact, all of the people I ask, I know you're thinking, this is a trick question. I'm already safe. What? I can what? I mean, but all the people I asked, they said, no. They said, no, we're not. But you know, God is a loving God. God is a loving God, and therefore He doesn't want to punish us. He loves us. He doesn't want to punish us. But He is a just God. He has to punish sin. And then you can go into a little bit story there. You know, I don't have time. I don't want to take too much time. I think I'll leave it to Teko to fill in the blanks. You know, I didn't know. Otherwise, I would have started with the story. Yeah, maybe the second service I'll do that. So, in order to be a loving God and a just God, God has to sacrifice Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came. If I were to use this piece of paper, sorry, I use your bulletin. This is man, sin. Jesus Christ came sinless. He was fully God, fully man. And God laid all our sins on Him. And when He died on the cross, before He died, He said, "It is finished." He was buried in the grave, He rose again, He ascended to heaven, and now nothing is stopping us from receiving this free gift. The only thing that would stop us is the kind of faith that we have. There are 3 kinds of faith. It is not blind faith. Blind faith is believing without knowing. We are not talking about that kind of faith. Or temporary faith. Temporary faith is, you have a need, I pray for you, God answers that need, whether it's healing, whether it is something that you need, we prayed. As important as it is, but that is not saving faith. The third one is an intellectual faith. Intellectual faith is something that you know, you believe, but you don't trust. Very quickly, there's a story of Blondin who is able to walk on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. He said, "I'm going to take a wheelbarrow full of sand." How many of you believe? Some say believe, some people say, "Let me see." He successfully went across, and then he emptied the wheelbarrow, and then he said, "Hey, how many of you believe that I can actually carry a man across?" This time, all said, I believe. They say, "Any volunteers?" And no volunteers. Then a little boy put up his hand and he said, I. And the boy went into the wheelbarrow and he successfully took him across Niagara Falls in the tightrope, and everybody rushed to this little boy and said, "Hey, you're a brave boy. How did you do this? You know, what made you do this?" He said, "Because I trust him, because he's my father." Saving faith is knowing, believing, and trusting Jesus alone for salvation. And then I ask them, does this make sense? Usually they say yes. The next question is, do you want to receive? That is actually what I share. All this thing about 12 people coming to the Lord, 14 people coming to the Lord is exactly that, exactly that. Now, somebody said, "Dorai, that sounds a cookie cutter kind of thing." I thought about it, you know. You know, I come from an engineering field. Some of you come from a physics field. Some of you come from a biology field. Some of you come from a mathematical field. And one of the fields, in some all of these fields, we have a magic word called formula. We agree with formula. Why can't there be a formula here? I'm talking out of personal experience. I had so many ways of sharing the gospel, but when I took this one, I had much more fruit than I ever had before. Do you follow? I finished already. Let's stand.